know what our schedule is. Davening on Friday morning started this morning at 8:05. And we did Baruch Hu just a few minutes before 8:30, so we should be able to make the Zman. And after davening, there is a short halacha shir from Rabbi Wiener, who's not presently here in the city. So therefore, I substituted. After that, there's breakfast till 9:45, his first Seder. Usually it's Chazor or whatever your first Seder Rebbe wants to do. Till 10:30, we will be doing Chumash together here till 10:50. At 10:50, Rabbi Kalis will be coming, and we'll be doing Halacha, Iyun Halacha, Jakav Gishmak, Sugyas in Halacha. If you've never been there, you've never experienced a shiur like that in your life. I would like to speak a little bit about the parsha now. The parsha is in general very versatile. The parsha is very versatile means that there's many different types of, you know, ideas a person can say on the parsha. One thing you could speak about the parsha is you could talk about, a person can say like a vort on the parsha. And then a person can say like musar on the parsha. And then you could say lumdish on the parsha. And then you could say philosophy, mashkofa on the parsha. And then you could say machshava on the parsha. These are all different, it's just different approaches, different rabbanim, different things. And when you start to know people, you know what their style is. For example, there's a style that is very near and dear to me. It's a style from someone named the Rebbe of Herschel. The Rebbe of Herschel wrote a sefer called Chanukah Satayra, who's a Rav, and he's buried in Krakow. He was a person who had a particular style in Chumash. His style was usually to take Midrashim, what's called the Medrash Pliyah. There's a Medrash Pliyah, something that, it's a Medrash on a puzzle that seems to make absolutely no sense, not to do anything with anything else. And then he would somehow tie it in with like connecting different Gemaras and different questions and different ideas. And it's usually the type of Vart that when he's finished, it puts a smile on your face. That's the Rebbe of Herschel. Also, the Rebbe of Yonason. I'm not sure why the two of them are both called the Rebbe Reb, and they have the same style in learning. But the Rebbe of Yonason also, Rebbe Yonason Eibschitz, also does a lot of that, a lot of Medrash Pliyas that he puts together and brings it to a certain idea. The Rav Moshe and Drash Moshe. Rav Moshe's Mahalach is very much like just shot oriented, just trying to say a vort on the parsha. Very often there's a take home lesson on it, but it's not necessarily. He's saying pshat in the pasuk. He likes very much to learn pshat. Rav Yeruchim was a classic mashkiach. Rav Yeruchim Levavis and Das Taira. It was all about the musr. Rav Yeruchim was a tremendous amount of musr that he put into what he was writing. Nesivas Shalom, who is the Slonim Rebbe, it's one of the considered the classics when it comes to a person's working on machshava and there's ideas and he tries to make certain things symbolic for other things and connect them. The Pri Tzadik is Rav Tzadik HaKoyin Milublin. There's different people that work different ways. There's one that's like a type of exception to the rule is someone by the name of the Ostrov Zergoyin. We've quoted him before. Rameir Yechiel Halevi. His last name was Halshtuk. He was a Hasidic Rebbe. He had a phenomenally brilliant mind, and he worked in all different areas. Another is the Vilna Goyin, Rabbi Leo Kramer, the famous Vilna Goyin. He also, there's many different styles in the Vilna Goyin of ways that he approaches the Chumash. So, but in general, many people have kind of like focused on one specific style. In this context of learning Chumash together, I would like to try to focus on the style, trying to find a theme in the parasha, something that's more kind of like what we'll call Derech HaMachshava, more type of the morale style, Nesivas Shalom, Pri Tzadik, something along those lines. And hopefully we'll try to show you a way to like approach Chumash, which is to see things for deeper than way they appear. And I'll give you an example in a moment. Before we start, the Chumash Shir has in the past usually been in two different languages. The reason is as follows. When I came to the Eretz Yisrael after I got married, so I had the schus of learning with my Rebbe. And you'll hear, those of you that don't know who he is, you'll hear more about him. His name is Reb David Cohen Shlita. He's the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chevron. He is right now considered to be one of the Mahigim of Klal Yisrael, which means one of the great leaders. Recently, someone very close to these people told me that Aaron Leib doesn't answer any more shalos in Yerushalayim. He sends them all to Rav David Cohen. That means that he considers Rav David Cohen to be the leading gadol in Yerushalayim today. His yeshiva Chevron is, I believe, the largest yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and the most attractive yeshiva. It's a very, very high level of learning. And Reb David is the Rosh Yeshiva there. He's my Rebbe. How it happened is a miracle. Baruch Hashem, I'm very happy because I'm an American boy, and Reb David is very, very Israeli, very Yerushalmi. His father is Yerushalmi, his grandfather is Yerushalmi, his great-grandfather is the Rav of Yerushalayim. He's like very, happens to be, Baruch Hashem, he married an American. So I used to go to his house for Shabbos and to speak to his wife, because I couldn't speak to him at all, because I didn't speak the language. That was when I was a bachur. After I got married, so Baruch Hashem, I went to yeshiva where the shiur was in Yiddish. So I learned Yiddish. So I came to Eretz Yisrael, and I had a kvius. I had a set time to learn with my Rebbe. We sat down the first time and said, okay, how are we going to communicate? Because my English is great, but my Yiddish is a little sloppy, and my Hebrew is atrocious. So how is it going to happen? It ended up that every once in a while we had to call the Rebbetzin in just so that she could, be the maturgaman, the translator between the two of us, because sometimes I couldn't find the right words. But my Yiddish is definitely better when it comes to like learning stuff. Like I know the right words for Yiddish, window, like someone breaks a window, I know the window word, I know the ox word, I know all the words necessary to learn Baba Kama. So we were learning Baba Kama, I said, so let's learn in Yiddish. So David said, no. David said, learn in Hebrew. But my Yiddish is better. Anyway, learning in Yiddish is like a whole different experience. There's like a lot of geschmack in the Yiddish, you know? So David says, we have to learn Hebrew. So I said, why? He said, because you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to learn how to speak in Hebrew. And so it was, and that's how I really learned Hebrew. When you converse with someone else in the language, you get much better at it. I got much better at Hebrew. It's still not perfect, but I could hold my own. And I think it's important that we're here in Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully some of us are going to remain here and stay here, and you want to, it's good to get comfortable. So we have Hebrew. Aside from that, it is also one of the obligatory things on some of our scholarships that we have in Yeshiva, that there is some sort of class being taught in Hebrew. Lachen anachnu medabrim ve'evrit chabibi. So we're going to speak a little Hebrew, a little English. Don't worry, we're going to segue slowly. There's not going to be too much Hebrew. I think you'll all be able to figure it out. But, k'tzat, bo nishtadel la'avin. Let's try to understand what it says over here in the parasha as follows. This week's parasha, be'parashat ha'shavua, is the parasha's shoiftim. And the parasha speaks about, Klal Yisrael makes a request. Let's see. Like earlier in the parasha. Oh, here it is. Katuv bepasuk. It's in the second aliyah. Perek yudzayin, pasuk yudzayin. Kisavay al haaretz. When you come to the land, asher Hashem elokecha noisein lach. V'yirishto v'yashavta bo. You inherit it and you dwell in the land. V'amarta, and you say, Asimo olai melech kechol agoyim asher svivoisai. I ask for a king. Now, Klal Yisrael is eventually going to be criticized for asking for a king, but we're not going to go into that right now. Klal Yisrael asks for a king. Soim tasim alecha. You ask for, you get it. We're going to give you a king. Soim tasim alecha melech. Asher yivcha Hashem elokecha boy. Hashem has chosen. Mikerev achecha tosim alecha melech. He has to be from amongst your brothers. Mikerev achecha. He has to be from inside. Mikerev achecha. There's a Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda is considered Mikerev achecha. Lo yosur. Shevet mi Yehuda means that the Shevet of Kahuna should not leave from Yehuda. Yehuda is the Shevet that all of the kings of Klal Yisrael should be coming from. It didn't always happen. The first king in history, his name was Shaul HaMelech, was not from Shevet Yehuda. But that was okay, because that was just considered to be like a Rasha temporary thing. Who was the first king from Shevet Yehuda? David HaMelech, Shevet Yehuda. And then Shlomo, after that, it started getting a little bit shaky because we had Rechavam, but Yerovam ben Nevat started up problems. Later on, we had the whole issue with the Chashmonaim. They were Koyanim. They thought that they should become the kings also for whatever reason. We're not going to get into all the history, but technically, Bikerev Achecha Tosim Alecha Melech means from in your midst. Reuven is considered the first. Then you have Shimon, Levi, Yehuda is from in your midst. He's from inside. So that's the king you should set upon yourself. Okay, now we give tnaim, conditions, special laws that come special to a king. Lo yarbe lo isusim. The king should not have excessive amounts of horses. Velo yashiv esam mitzrayim ala manharba sus. That's the first thing. Velo yarbe lo noshim. He should not have too many wives. Three restrictions. Can't have too many horses, cannot have too many wives, cannot have too much money. And the last thing is that he has a davar chiyuvi, he has something that we're asking that he should have positive, which is v'hoye keshivto akise mamlachtoi v'chosap loy es mishna ha-toyra azois al sefer. He has to have a special sefer toyra. He actually has to have two Sefer Torah. We're not going to get involved in that. But, okay, there's a special Sefer Torah. That is what he has to have. What he can't have is too many whites. He can't have too much money. He can't have too many horses. So I would like to suggest the following idea. These are not random laws that all exist for a Kohen. I'd like to suggest that these represent different midot, different character traits, that we are hoping that the melech can perfect, and those character traits are specific for a melech. We'll start as follows. There are two basic drives or desires that a man has. One is for kavod, and the other one is for taiva or lust. Those are the two things. It's called in the svarim ta'avani ka'asani. Ta'avani ka'asani. Those are the two, Yishmael, Esav, Amoy, Moyav. I'm not going to go into all of them right now, but let's just discuss Yishmael and Esav for a second. Yishmael is the person that we know is full of taivas, Zima and Tznus, and they have lots of wives and all that stuff. And Yishmael is very into taivas in general. Esav is different. Esav is very aggressive. Esav is an angry person. Esav is very red. Esav is a person that demands respect. These are the two different ideas that you have. Is Esav and Yishmael are the two different kliyos that play in the world. Esav is milashin of asiya, Yishmael is milashin of shemiya. It's nasav and ishma. I'm not going to go into all this. I just want to focus on the following thing. There's desire for respect. Respect is not lust. Respect is, I want someone, I want to have cover. There's a certain idea of person having respect. People should respect me. There's something else which a person has lust, which is food and women. That's what it is. Those are lusts. The two of them are separate. When you speak about, there's a book, a famous book called The Juggler and the King, where the Vilna Gaon writes that Yitzhar tries to like juggle these two. Like when you have enough of one, he throws you the other. But these are the two things that a person, that's the juggler, he's juggling you. Like he throws you one taiva, then the other taiva. But the point is like this. Ta'avani ka'asani. So let's discuss these two things. Lust, ta'avani, is not to have too many wives. Too many wives is someone that's going to be following. It says his heart should not follow these women. It's the seat of passion is in a person's heart. And therefore, a person should not have too many wives because that's going to get him too much involved in his desires, in his taivas. That's ta'avani. What is kavod or respect? So respect is often money. I have a friend, actually, right now, that just made a tremendous amount of money. Phenomenal amount of money. In his, he did some sort of investment, and he just made millions of dollars. Now, the rule when it comes to trading on the market is you can't take your money out if you've invested a certain time. You can't take your money out because you're worried about, I don't know what it is, if it's insider trading or that the stock will collapse or whatever it is. So he is worth, net worth, is millions of dollars. He can't touch it right now because it's all tied up. But Lemaisa, when he walks in a room, everyone's like, this is a multimillionaire right over here. Now, he can't buy a new car, can't redo his house, nothing. because the money's tied up, but everyone still gives them respect. Because money, you can't eat money, you can't drink money, you can't wear money, you can't do anything with money. All money is money is something that people respect. This guy's worth, you know how much money? Does that mean he enjoys it necessarily? No, but that gives he's respect. Person's got a lot of money, gets respect. Another thing that gives a person a lot of respect is a person has a big army. Right? A person has like a lot of horses, and you see there's someone that feels like he's give him a lot of respect. There's might. Might gives someone respect, and wealth gives someone respect. So Lachain, the Pasuk tells us, we don't want that the Melech should like run away with this whole respect thing. He should get like two into his kavod. Shouldn't have too much money. Lo yarbe lo kesef vizov. Lo yarbe lo susim. Shouldn't have too much horses. Because these are two things that a person like gets very into his kavod, into his respect. I would like to suggest, Epsha, that there are parts of the human anatomy that reflect these different desires. Well, when it comes to Ta'avani, I think it's pretty clear what it would be. Where would a person say when it comes to a person's lusts or his desires? Where do they come from? Which part of the person's goof? Anyone? The heart. The lev. Right? Lo sasur achrei levavchem. Your heart is the seat of a person's passion. The lev is the source of a person's desires. Now when it comes to respect, which part of the human anatomy is the one that reflects or represents kavod? The kavod. The kavod is the liver. The person's liver is the part of the body that processes the blood. Now, when a person gets angry, so there's a saying that his blood is boiling. Where does that saying come from? It comes because it has been scientifically proven that when a person gets angry, his liver starts to heat up. And therefore, there's a saying when I was younger, they used to say to someone, when he gets angry, calm your liver. Have you ever heard that saying? Calm your liver. What do you mean, calm my liver? Why was it? Because when a person gets angry, the liver starts to heat up. And then your blood is boiling inside your liver. His blood is boiling. So that is when someone is not giving me enough respect, I'm getting angry, because to stand up for myself, that's kavod. I'm not getting the kavod I deserve. My kavod starts heating up. So you have the kavod and the leif. There's a third idea that we want from the king, which is we would like the king to use his mind properly. You have to make sure he has the right hashkafot, he has the right outlook, that he has the right idea, the right vision of where to take these people. Therefore, the king takes with him a Sefer Torah. Everywhere he goes, he has a Sefer Torah with him to remind him of what is the right approach, what is the right outlook on life. The Torah is the Hayra'ah. It is our instructions of what we're supposed to be doing. The king has to always have a Sefer Torah with him. The Sefer Torah is connected to the Moach. The Moach is the mind, the brain, that we use to learn our Torah. It's our mind. So we have the Moach, the Lev, and the Kaved. Moach, Lev, Kaved is Rosh Tevois. Moach, Lev, Kaved, Rosh Tevois, Melech. Moach, Lev, Kaved is Melech. A king is a person that can perfect these three midas. His moach is going in the right direction. His lev and his kavod are in check. His lev and his kavod are in check. What does that mean? You have to make sure you don't run away with that. That's a melech. Where your moach comes before your lev and your kavod. Because some people, they just follow their heart because it feels right. Why are you doing it? It just feels right. No, that's bad. That's bad. Lo sasuru acharei levavchem. Don't do it because it feels right. Or sometimes people, they're out of control because they're burning mad and they just do things even though they know it's wrong because their liver is just on fire. Bad. You have to have your moach before your lev and your kaved. That is a melech. That's a person that's worthy of being king. So therefore we tell him, not too many wives, not too much money, gotta have a sefer Torah, gotta do this right. Now, we say on Rosh Hashanah, Ashrei Am Yodei Trua, right, that there is the people that know the Trua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we reference the Pasuk Truas Melech Boy. Klal Yisrael has Truas Melech, the blast of the king. There's something about Klal Yisrael that connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Shofar through Malchus. And that is, if Klal Yisrael has an awareness that each one of us has to be a king over our bodies, Shoftim v'shoytrim titein lecha v'chol sharecha, is you have to control your body. You are in control. You have to make sure that you're executing properly what happens in your life. You have to be a king over your goof. That's a melech. Now, Tosfos says that this will end. That Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. He had a second to do it. Bilam had a second to curse Klal Yisrael. What are you going to say in a second? Says Tosfos, he's going to say one word. The word is Kali. Kali means eradicate them, destroy them, annihilate them. One of those. Kali. What happened? Says Tosfos, well, Kodesh Baruch Hu changed around the letters and he made it Melech. Same letters. Kaleim Melech. He just switched it around. So Bilam accidentally said it the wrong way. Melech is Truas Melech Boy. Klal Yisrael, we have the Shofar of the king, Truas Melech. What's going on over here? I think what Bilam was trying to say, I will destroy these people because I will put their coven and their lave before their moach. I'll make them just to go crazy with their desires. That's what Bilam tried doing right afterwards. They're going to follow their heart. They're going to follow their coven. They're just going to... And afterwards, their mind will be at the end. Afterwards they'll try to like explain why they did it, because they'll come up with some sort of excuse. That will be the end of these people. Kalem, destroy them, put the moach at the end of Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu switched it around and said, no, not my people. Truas Melech Boy, Klal Yisrael will make decisions based on intellect, what they know they should be doing. What they know is right. Maybe they don't feel it, maybe they feel otherwise, maybe it's difficult. That is a king. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us in Rosh Hashanah, is a time, as we're approaching, where every one of us has to kilo be mamlech ourselves on our guf, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the world. Have a good Shabbos. Enjoy.
Yeah, thank you. What's up?